welcome to this evening's edition of the Organist Encores, where tonight we're joined by the one and only Keith Beckingham. Hello, Keith.
Hello, Damon. And welcome to the Cotswolds. It's lovely to see you in this part of the world.
And thank you for having me. Obviously, for those who are listening, bits of this will appear on the show, but if you want to watch the whole unedited, uninterrupted thing, you can do so on YouTube. So, Keith, I'd best ask you, what are your first musical memories?
Well, I grew up in that pre-social media era, even pre-television era, would you believe? I'm not that old, but you know, we grew up, we had to make our own entertainment. And I was lucky. I grew up in a very musical household. My father had been a church organist for 13 years. He had his own dance band in the 1920s, 1930s. My wife was a well-known singer in the area among local amateur dramatic societies and had a lovely singing voice. I had an uncle that played the organ. He was at St. Barnabas Church in Beckenham, and later in his retirement actually became the organist at Crediton Parish Church, which had a magnificent organ, still has. So there was always music at home. I grew up with my father playing the piano, my mother singing occasionally, my uncle coming round, my cousins both played the violin. There was always music going on in the home. And, you know, it's a bit like watching your father driving a car. It makes you want to drive. And when I saw him playing the piano, I thought, well, that's what you do when you grow up. So those are my earliest memories.
And how did that then transcribe to aged 14 playing at the Granada in Woolwich?
Well, we can go in we just build up to that because first of all, I had piano lessons, obviously.
Yep.
And I was lucky. I had a very, very good piano teacher. I then became obsessed with organs. Mainly in those days, it was classical organs. I'd learnt the piano, and by the time I was 10, I was at the BIF with my father, the British Industries Fair, and I was actually asked by Leslie Sperling to play a little single manual organ that he had there. And it was the first time I found a crowd that was formed to listen to what I was doing. What they didn't perhaps realise was the official demonstrator was Bill Davis, and he was doing some wonderful things in the background, which made this small organ sound like, you know, everything. The Cinnabar organ came into my life mainly through listening on the radio.
Yeah.
I suppose I listened to Sandy.
Yeah.
I certainly listened to Reg Dixon. I love this sort of excitement of the big crowd and the tarballed.
Yes, yeah.
Then my first experience of seeing an organ or hearing an organ was in about 1955. My father picked me up from school. I was at Beckenham Grammar School. We were driving to the Regal Cinema in Beckenham. And I remember my father saying, oh, one time I had this dreadful organ. It was a Wurlitzer, I think, German, because these things went out of favour with the war, you know. It was a dreadful thing. It sounded from one side. The only organist that made it sound half decent was Reginald Fort when he came as a guest.
But, yeah.
Oh, dreadful thing. I wonder what happened to it. We go into the cinema, we arrive, we're going to see the Dam Busters, and we get there as the B movie is finishing.
Yes, yeah.
And next thing is, we hear this glorious organ music.
Yeah.
And I think this is absolutely lovely. And I looked down, we were sitting in the circle. I looked down and I could see the organ concert, but just the glow of the lights around the horseshoe surround and this head and playing and these lovely sounds coming out. The head never moved.
Yes.
Now, my father was very cynical. He said, that's not a real organist. But that's not that organ that I remember. He said, what they've done, they put a tailor's dummy there because it's not moving, is it?
Yes, yeah.
And they put some speakers up where the organ used to be. It was a long time afterwards that I found out it was Reginald New.
Okay.
Yeah. And who had this habit of playing absolutely motionless.
Thank you.
So, next thing, see an advert in the local paper for the Davis Theatre at Croydon with Molly Forbes at the organ. So I go along to the Davis Theatre, expecting the same sort of thing. She's going to be playing away there, but other things on the ads are on the screen. No. I hear this glorious sound, Chanson de Matin by Elgar, that's her signature tune, and it wafted through from this great big dome in the ceiling. It was a 4,000-seater cinema.
Yeah.
And this console rose up in the spotlight for Manuel Compton.
Yeah.
In the old days, one of the old Comptons that had multicoloured stops.
Yes, yeah.
And there was Molly playing. She came up to slide level. There's slides on the screen, a Brenograph effect, which I found out about later with the cloud effects.
Yeah.
And she played the selection of tunes called Out of the Blue. All the tunes had blue in the title.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, at the last tune, which was the Rhapsody in Blue theme, she took the organ right up to the top, took her bow and played the last reprise from Rhapsody in Blue going down. Well, I was gobsmacked. Now, but I was confused because from being this little shy boy who could play in the cinema, but would I have the bottle to ever do that?
Yes.
Because that was a different way of life.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I had to learn to play. We couldn't afford an electronic organ.
Mm-hmm.
My parents weren't, and they were very expensive anyway in those days. So my father, who was very resourceful, found an old American reed organ in the church.
Yeah.
We got this home, and my mother wouldn't have it in the house. It was dummy pipes, Victorian scrolls. I mean, it was horrendous. So it was relegated to the garage. And anyway, Dad said, look, you've got to learn to play the pedals. But of course, you had these two big pedals. And I said, look, Dad, how will I be able to pump this organ and then play pedals?
Yes, yes.
Well, the idea was shelved for a little while until my father, my ever-resourceful father, made a startling discovery. Reed organs work from suction, not pressure. So we looked around the house and saw, where is a readily available source of suction? And our eyes fell upon my mother's Hoover. We put this in the back of this reed organ. It was like putting a supercharger on a car. It was fantastic. So Dad then set about building a pedal board. We got some actual pedals from an organ builder, but he went to the local church where I was allowed to practice and took the measurements, and he actually made a pedal board.
Okay. Yeah.
So I was then learning the pedals.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was getting more confident then, Dad also made another important discovery. There was a lovely dual-purpose three manual, 13 rank Compton at Lewisham Town Hall.
Yeah.
You could hire it by the hour, half a crown an hour. In new money, 12 and a half pence. To my amazement, I then had a phone call from a man called John Bacon, who was manager of the Regal Cinema in Beckenham, saying, would I like to go along and try the Wurlitzer? Well, I mean, did I want to play the Wurlitzer? The Pope got a balcony. I mean, I was so excited about going down that he took me down to this incredible organ. I mean, it was my first close-up of a Wurlitzer.
Yeah.
And there it was in all its glory. It was a lovely-looking organ, illuminated surround and so forth. And so I tried it, and lovely to play. Much easier to play than Lewisham Town Hall.
Yes, yeah.
And then, unfortunately, John Bacon dropped rather a bombshell on me because he said, well, how would you feel if I had told you I got an audition for you to go and meet Joseph Seal at the Regal Kingston? And I then put two and two together, and that was, unless I was approved by Mr. Seal, I wasn't going to be playing at the Regal.
Yes, yeah.
So down I go to the Regal Kingston and met Mr. Seal, very charming. And I remember his words. He said, right, Sonny, he said, I'll take you down to the organ, show you where everything is, leave you on it for an hour, and then I'll come and listen to you. If you play the way I want you to play, then I'll be delighted to approve you to play for the Miners Matinees at Beckenham. If you don't, I don't want any tantrums. So anyway, of course, playing Kingston was a joy. It was
yes,
a lovely organ.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, heaven. And anyway, Mr. Seal came down and said, oh, you play very nicely, Sonny. And so it's taken a long time to get there, but here we are. I'm now playing at the Granada Greenwich. I think I was 13 at the time.
Yes, yes. So we talked about your early influences being sort of Molly Forbes and Reginald New. Who else was there that you coveted listened to?
Well, can I tell you that the first COS meeting I went to, I actually played at because it was at Lewisham Town Hall.
Yeah.
And I did the cameo spot, but Charles Saxby was the guest artist who played mainly a classical programme. But what I call my first real COS meeting was at the Trocadero and up in Castle, where I heard, would you believe, Reginald New and Jackie Brown.
Well,
a combination like that is made in heaven, isn't it? In my mind, to say it's attainable, it sounds bombastic, but I certainly couldn't do what Reginu did, but I could see perhaps with a lot of practice, a lot of hard work, I might get nearer to what Jackie was doing.
Yeah. Well, how about we listen to a little bit of Jackie Brown now, perhaps at the Granada in Tooting?
So, absolutely. That was a marriage made in heaven.
Did you ever play the Tooting organ?
Well, I did my first broadcast from there.
Well, there we go. Well, let's talk about that.
Well, I was very lucky, actually, because I got in just at the tail end. You know, we had the half-hour broadcast every day.
Yeah.
They got moved from 10 till, I think, 12:30 to 1. And I was contacted by Charles Clark Maxwell. He had taken over as producer of these programmes. His secretary contacted me and said that Mr. Clark Maxwell might be interested in using you on the air. Could I send in a tape? And I sent a tape of a concert I'd done for the COS at the Granada Welling. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, I never heard anything back. I just got a contract with the Post. And I couldn't believe my luck. And it was to record this programme at the Granada Tooting. Now, I heard Tooting many, many times, and particularly in the capable hands of Jackie Brown.
Yes, yeah.
And it was a lovely organ. It had a wonderful spread of sound right across from these understage chambers. And so anyway, I made arrangements to go down and try it. And as soon as I tried it, oh, heaven, heaven. And such a wonderful organ, because it was like playing a Hammond, the instant response.
Yes, yeah.
And my broadcast was coming up towards Christmas. And so I put this together, ending up with a Christmas medley. I was so lucky having that gorgeous organ to do it on.
And you also did a broadcast from Granada Harrow.
Yes, they just restored the Granada Harrow at that time. It was the Mark II type.
I think your broadcast was the first one.
It was from Harrow after the restoration. And it was in fine voice. And I must say that it sounded like a lot more than eight ranks.
Well, those Mark II Granada organs certainly did.
Very well thought out. You have to get your head round them to really enjoy it.
Well, to drag you back in time, I do have a copy of your broadcast from the Granada in Harrow.
Send it to Sotheby's.
Well, I think we can hear a little bit of it now. So I think you played a selection from The Boyfriend.
I did indeed.
So let's have a listen to that.
Afternoon. This is Keith Beckingham at the console of the newly restored organ of the Granada Theatre, Harrow. I've chosen a selection from Sandy Wilson's music, from the show that's enjoying such a successful revival in London, The Boyfriend.
Thank you.
talk about recordings, because obviously this is a good point to slot some things
yes,
in.
Yes, yes.
Your first Hammond record was High Flying Hammond.
Well, it, not strictly true.
Oh.
Because I'd done two recordings before that. One, we made a giveaway, one of these floppy giveaway discs
yeah.
called Playtime at the Hammond. I was 19 then. And then after that, we were in Russia.
Ah, I've got this down as a separate note.
Well, if we're going to go in the correct order, and there are people in this world that are very important.
Yes, yep.
Garbage is very important. but Jimmy Gibbs, again, a very dynamic guy, and he arranged for us to exhibit at the British Industrial Exhibition.
Yeah,
we were with Boosey and Hawks with their instruments. And Hammond had granted us the Eastern European market to develop. And out there, and the Hammond had a big impact. And I was asked to make this recording for the State Recording Company.
Yep.
And we recorded this, what was an EP in those days. And I was paid for it, and that was fine. But I never got a copy of the disc. And I wondered for many, many years whether it was ever actually released.
Yes. Yeah.
Until through the advent of the internet, and I started to get some emails come in from Russia of people with this disc and asking what model Hammond it was and all that. And eventually, I actually got a copy of it. And so it was released. So
it
that was actually
yeah.
my first EP. And then later on, I was invited to do these, the first LP, which was called High Flying Hammond.
Yeah.
And we recorded that at the Jackson Studios out at Rickmansworth. The son, Jack Jackson, who was a very famous band leader and then became a very creative disc jockey. And all in those days, it was all done with cutting 15-inch
yes, yep,
tapes with a very sharp knife, razor blade. But anyway, we recorded High Flying Hammond. And the other thing we did was I came up with the idea of putting an insert sheet in with it with all the drawbar settings
yep.
so that people who were home organists could see how to create the same registrations. So that did very well. And we were then bringing out a new spinet model called the Model T.
Mm-hmm.
So we recorded Travelling Hammond.
Yeah.
Ford Motor Company kindly loaned us a Model T organ to put on the front
yes,
cover.
Yeah.
They didn't loan us the lovely girl. I don't know where she came from, but she was very attractive, I have to say. No, that was the second one. And then we went on, we did umpteen.
And just going back to the recording you did in Russia, am I right in saying that that was the first time the Beatles were ever recorded?
Yes. Now, that was something I found out, again, many years later, because this was in the 60s when the Beatles were top of the charts.
Yeah.
And I recorded a medley of tunes, which included a couple of Beatles tunes.
Yeah.
And one of the emails I received was from a guy who told me that this was the first time the Beatles' music had been recorded within the Soviet Union. And so much so that he arranged for me to be interviewed long distance
mm-hmm.
with a magazine called From Me to You,
yeah.
Telling the history of how this recording came about. This is a magazine that deals entirely of Beatles' history. And so that was in one of the editions of From Me to You, available in Russia.
Well, let's have a listen to that, recorded on B...
That was, I think, an A100.
A100,
yes.
Okay,
with a PR40.
Hammond Beatles Fantasia.
Thank you.
have an opinion on Leslie's versus PR40s? Because I know that some people have very divided opinions. They either like one or the other.
This is a bit like Brexit. I've got people, one person in particular, who I talk to quite frequently, and he just hates the thought of Leslie's.
Yeah.
And he won't actually have any of my LPs because they were recorded on with Leslie's. But I can understand, because you hear a Hammond with a PR40.
Yeah.
And now I play them occasionally when we go round to certain venues, and it's a refreshing sound.
Yes.
And of course you can do things. You can, for example, you can have on a PR40 vibrato on the upper and or not, and split the vibrato, which you can't do until you've got the very modern Leslie's.
Yeah.
But it's two different sounds.
Yeah.
And horses for courses.
Well, Keith, I think we've covered everything, unless there's anything.
What a shame.
There is one yes. other thing I can ask you, which I like to ask people, which is, if what advice would you give to a young musician, or somebody just starting out, either playing the organ or music in general? Yeah. What would be your...
Oh, right. there's so much, actually, but it's a question of playing and playing and playing. It's a question of listening, listening and listening, not being afraid to ask. Try and watch an organist play.
Yeah.
Don't try and just imitate and
one
nothing
person.
Else.
Yeah.
Don't try and do that. By all means, find out how they do things, but develop your own style. Yeah. The piano is still the foundation instrument. You need to get good piano technique, and I'm not selling pianos anymore now, so I'm not biased. Although I did enjoy selling for a very long time, but because I love the piano. But yes, piano technique is the way forward. You talk about Reginald Dixon, you talk about Joseph Seal, they all had pianos at home and practiced diligently.
Yeah.
And so the piano is very, very important. Now, unlike in my day, when there was nobody around that could teach me how to play entertainment music on the organ. Mm-hmm. Now there are, and through the Cinema Organ Society in particular, and Theatre Organ Club, things that are happening in Rye and other parts of the world where young people are being really encouraged into the organ world, there are these opportunities, and that's a great thing.
Yeah.
And if I ever won the lottery, one thing I would love to create would be a sort of foundation where we could put an organ in to a place that was available 24 hours a day and where we could have teachers encourage youngsters to play, give concerts and things like that. Because it amazed me that we've managed to attract people like Simon and Richard who have come into it in a latter time when organs were, by that time, mainly out of cinemas in their new homes. And we've attracted that. We have a new wave of younger people now coming along who are very, very fine players.
Yeah.
So as I'm in the autumn of my life, so to speak, I'm very delighted there are these younger players who are doing some great things.
Yeah.
Great things.
It's wonderful. Well, Keith, we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much for having me
over. It's been a pleasure. Been a pleasure, David.
I was about to say coming to deepest, darkest in the Cotswold, but it's a lovely sunny day.
It's a lovely sunny day we arranged for you.
That's lovely. Thank you, Keith.
Not at all.
Thank you.